Well, I'm still saved since the last time you saw me. Sometimes I tell the folks I'm happier about that than you are. I wouldn't want somebody that's not living for the Lord ministering to us, but I'm thankful that I have the Spirit of the Lord. I do have a message that I feel like the Lord wants me to share with you today. I appreciate being here. And I want to talk about the gospel. The gospel message is what we say quite often. And I want the Lord to give us a clearer meaning of what it means when we speak of the gospel message of Jesus Christ. And one of the things that's been interesting to me as I go through the Bible, if you have your Bible, it says the gospel according to St. Matthew. Or the gospel according to St. Luke, gospel according to St. Mark, John. And when you look at the gospel, it's basically the same story for the most part. There are differences in each one of the gospels. But it's basically telling the story of Jesus, telling his acts, what he did, his lineage. And it's coming from various perspectives. The perspective that Matthew comes from is more of where it shows him to be the king. And where Mark comes from is a servant. But when you take the look at a king as opposed to a servant, it's something completely different. The majesty of a king and the humbleness of a servant. But we're dealing with the same person. We're looking at the person of Jesus Christ. Now, when it says the gospel according to Matthew, Matthew is looking at it from his perspective. And he was quite a different individual than, let's say, Luke, who was a physician, a more caring individual. When you look at Luke's gospel, it speaks about Jesus as being the Son of Man more. And when you look at John, it's from the standpoint of him being the Son of God. You can do the research yourself, but when I want us to bring it down to a perspective where we're looking at it from our own perspective. The gospel message according to the saints. The different personalities. These individuals had different personalities. If we had a story to tell about somebody's life, maybe, let's just say in a family setting, maybe there's four people in a family, and they were to tell the story of somebody in that family. What you'd find is that different individuals, according to their personality, would include certain things and then other that were important to them. They would exclude things that may not be as important under the context. I want to understand that everything in the Scripture is important. Everything that Jesus did is important, but everything that he did is not recorded. The Scripture says that we wouldn't have room enough there wouldn't be enough books to be able to record everything that Jesus did. So what we want to understand is that God had a purpose for having four men to record the same thing in essence, the gospel of Jesus Christ. What it means when we're dealing with the gospel message. It's the good news, isn't it? Yeah. But it's not just good news. It's good news that the weather was nice for this revival, wasn't it? But that's not the gospel. The good news of Jesus Christ is, as the brother brought out today in his exhortation, the good news of Jesus Christ is he died for you. He came and he suffered for you. And we need to understand from the standpoint as we look at him, the King of all, the Creator, the King of heaven and earth, he came down and he became a servant. He was humbled himself and became obedient, not just for any death, but the death of the cross. The worst kind of a death that you could die. As a criminal, this is the king. This is the gospel message. There is a reason that God put all of this in the Scripture. It's for you. It's for me. It's for us to understand how it relates to us individually. All right? I want us to read before we go very much further. Pray for us that we'll be able to express it in the way that the Lord would have us to. I want us to turn to Luke, the first chapter. I want to start reading at the first verse. If there's someone that's a good reader, if you'll help me read, I sure would appreciate it. We're going to turn to Luke 1, verse 1. If you have it, read it, please.
Four
All right. For as much as many have taken in hand to set forth in order a declaration of those things which are most surely believed among us. Read.
Even as they deliver them unto us,
which from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word. All right, read.
It seemed good to me,
also having had perfect understanding of all things from the very first, to write unto thee in order, most excellent Theophilus. Read.
That thou mayest know the certainty of those things
wherein thou hast been instructed. So what he wanted to bring out is, this is not something, what I'm about to tell you about is not something that somebody told me.
Yes.
It is not just something that it was passed down. I'm an eyewitness of these things, is what Luke is saying here. The things that I am putting down here, the things that I am about to express to you, are things that I saw and I know firsthand. That's what an eyewitness is. An eyewitness is not someone that heard it from somebody else and then they don't have the experience of it themselves. That's a person that has hearsay. Do you know what I believe is happening too much in our generation? There is a hearsay gospel that people are trying to live something that they heard is possible to live. But what the Lord wants you and I to understand is that we can be eyewitnesses of this gospel. It's not just the gospel according to Luke. It's not just the gospel according to John. It's the gospel according to the saints of God in 2011, almost 12. We can be eyewitnesses of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the good news. What does it mean? I am delivered. He came. What does the scripture say? Well, I believe one of the things about Jesus, we celebrate Christmas. One of the scriptures in the gospel is he came. What did he come for? She shall bring forth a son. Thou shalt call his name Jesus. What is he going to do? He shall save his people from their sins. Now, I don't just want to hear about it. I want to know about it. I want to be an eyewitness. And what we have in the general population of the religious world is that folks have heard that he can save you, but they don't know how he can save you. Saints, that's why it's important for you and I to live a righteous and a holy life, to know it for our own selves. This is not something that mom and daddy taught me. It's not just something that mom and dad taught me. It's not just something that was passed down by Brother Chandler and Brother Ostis. This is something that I know for myself. I am an eyewitness of the gospel. The good news of Jesus Christ. Yes, there are those of us that have had bad attitudes, haven't we? But we know that there is power in the blood of Jesus Christ. There are those of us that have had trouble forgiving one another, haven't we? But we know as an eyewitness that if Jesus forgave me, I have the power. You know, I have the power to forgive as well. And it works. And what we need to understand is that it works for you, just like it worked for Luke. It works for me, just like it worked for John. We need to understand, all of us have different personalities. Nobody here really has the same personality. There may be, you could put up, maybe categorize each one of us and put us in certain kinds of categories, but we're all coming from different backgrounds, from different understandings, from different circumstances in our lives, but we all come together and have an understanding that Jesus died, as the brother said, for me. And what happens is when I acknowledge that and I realize it and I embrace that, what happens with me, there is a change that takes place in my life, and there ultimately is no sin that I cannot conquer by the grace of God. There is no attitudes. There are no issues in my life that I just have to deal with. And I just, you know what? I just can't keep from sinning. What's the good news about that? The whole thing, the whole reason that I decided, and anyone decides to come to the Lord, is why we get tired, don't we? I don't want to be in sin anymore. I tried not to do it, but it seemed like there was something in me that forced me, an old wretched man that I am. And I just was, we're tired of it. I don't want to sin more or less every day. That's not good news to me. That is not the gospel message. The gospel message of Jesus Christ is that I can live a righteous and a holy life in this present world. That's good news. The good news of the gospel is that I can be delivered from everything that binds me, no matter what it is. I don't have to make excuses for it. I can be delivered. That is the gospel according to the saints of God. Living right here in this generation, right now, it becomes real. Do you realize that a lot of folks aren't reading the Bible, and a lot of folks have misinterpreted the scriptures, and a lot of folks, there are a lot of Christians, a lot more Christians, quotations, in Guthrie than sitting right here in this building. But do you know, they don't live according to the gospel of Jesus Christ. A lot of them don't. I'm not saying, I'm not making a blanket statement. A lot of them don't. Most of the people that we know that consider themselves Christians don't live the good news of Jesus Christ. Why would I want to do that and I can't, why would I want to be a Christian and I can't live right? What's the point? Lord help us. All right. So, do you believe when the gospel message is that Jesus heals? Do you believe that? Why do you believe it? Is because it's written there. Why? It's your experience. Do you know when you read the Bible, do you know what the Bible really is? A lot of stories about regular people just like you and me. Not much difference. They go to sleep, they eat, they do the same things that we do, and their stories are scripture. And in the same way, do you know how the scripture speaks about we are epistles known and read of men? This is why it is very important for us not to just walk the line and walk be on the border all the time. Because somebody is reading our gospel. Somebody is reading the book and they're interpreting it. They understand the way that we interpret it. Well, I don't see it quite like that. Saints, let me tell you something. It is imperative for us to live right. Yeah. Now, Brother Darrell, we know that. No, but some of you, some folks don't act like they know. Some folks don't act, they look at what they're doing and they justify what they're doing. Now, here's another thing. Who is Theophilus? I'm not quite sure who it is. And I haven't done enough research to find out who this man is, but this is who this gospel apparently was. He was talking to this man. And he was laying out the gospel for an individual. He said, well, listen, I'm going to read the Amplified version here. Since as it is well known, many have undertaken to put in order and draw up a thorough narrative of the surely established deeds which have been accomplished and fulfilled among us, exactly as they were handed down to us by those from whom the official beginning of Jesus' ministry were eyewitnesses of the eyewitnesses and ministers of the word, that is, the doctrine concerning the attainment through Christ of salvation into the kingdom of God. Now, you know what? That's something special. I'm going to read that again. The doctrine concerning the attainment through Christ of salvation in the kingdom of God. It seemed good and desirable to me, and so I have determined also after having searched out diligently and followed all things closely and traced accurately the course from the highest to the minutest detail, from the very first, so to write an orderly account for you, most excellent Theophilus. My purpose, that you may know the full truth and understand with certainty and security against error the accounts, the histories, doctrines of the faith of which you have been informed and in which you have been orally instructed. Most of us, I was raised in the truth. And I was orally instructed in what the saints taught. And I believed it simply because as a child, that's what you believe, what your parents tell you. If they tell you that the sky or whatever, something, they tell you something, we won't say that, but if they tell you something, you as a child believe that, and you are kind of brought up in that, and then when you become a teenager, maybe around 18, that's when I had my enlightenment, and I had determined in my mind at age when I went off to college that I don't think I really believe what mom and dad have taught me to the level that they've taught me. It has been orally instructed to me, it's been given to me, from the standpoint of their standpoint, but it was a little bit old fogey, and it kind of put the braces on me, and I felt like, you know what, I want to be a Christian, but I don't have to be a Christian like that. This, I'm just telling you where I was. And I had an awakening in my freshman year of college. I had an awakening, and the Lord began to talk to me and deal with me, and He opened up the Scripture to me. I had been one of those camp meeting saints. I've been saved most of my childhood life, and you do something and you go back down to the altar. I was that kind. I know what I'm talking about. I know what some of these folks are going through. Some of you go through. And then I had this awakening where it came to me where the Lord began to show me things in the Scripture. And He began to show me the course that I was on was not the course that it was not going to take me where I thought it was going to take me. And so, I remember in my dorm room, just up here in Norman, Oklahoma, I began to cry and pour out my heart to the Lord and say, Lord, I'll give you everything, but there are some things that I don't understand, and there are some things that I don't agree with, and I wrote them on a piece of paper and I put them in my wallet. And I said, Lord, if you'll show me these things that I have a question mark in my mind about, then I'll follow that. But I don't feel like I have to do those things until you show me. This is just what I was dealing with. And the Lord wondrously saved me. He gave me what I needed, and I am not following this because it is something that has been orally passed down to me. I am now an eyewitness of the goodness of God. I know what the gospel message is. I am not just loyal to a group of people and following a group of people because that's where my loyalties are. I believe the Lord has to open up our understanding and give us a revelation. The problem that we have, let me tell you something about revelation. As we open up, the Lord opens up our minds and our understanding, and He shows us what is right. I believe that's what's missing sometimes. We follow it because that's what we're supposed to do, but it's not been revealed to us. And let me tell you, when it's not been revealed to you, then somebody can come and knock your feet out from under you. But when you know it of a certainty that this gospel is the gospel message of Jesus Christ, and this little group of ragtag folks that I'm with are part of the body of Christ, then you understand in a greater way. All right? And then your feet can't be knocked out from under you. But the problem, and listen, and you don't have to go and prop everything up and tell everybody, well, this is how you're supposed to do it, and this is how the saints have done it. It doesn't matter how the saints do it. How does the Bible say that you're supposed to live it? It is the gospel according to the way the old folks did it. It's the gospel according to the way that the Lord has revealed it to us and given us a clarity and understanding. And you don't have to worry about what other people are saying. You don't have to worry about whether or not you're in the in crowd or the out crowd, because you understand that this is what the Lord is requiring of me. It doesn't matter what the world is doing. It doesn't matter that they're getting a whole lot of folks just coming in droves to their congregations, but am I where the Lord wants me to be? And when I can say that, then I can say, you know what? I'm standing here. Amen. Lord, help us. Amen. All right, Acts 1 and 1. Let's read that. If you have it, read it for us, brother. Appreciate your help.
The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus.
Talking to the same man.
Of all that Jesus began.
All that Jesus began.
To do and teach.
To do and teach.
Until the day in which he was taken up.
Until the day in which he was taken up. Now I want to just stop there. All the things that Jesus began to do and teach. So, going back to what we dealt with in the gospel message, what has Jesus done for you? How has he worked with you? This is what is being recorded. We've dealt with those things that Jesus has done, began to do and teach. It didn't say all the things that he did. It said the things that he began to do and to teach. Now, the Lord is not finished working in any of our lives, is he? So what he has begun a work in us, do you suppose that he's able to perform that until the day of Jesus Christ? He's begun something in us, and what he's begun in you and I, all of us that are saved, that have given our hearts to the Lord, do you realize that when folks look at you, they should see something that Jesus has done in you? That's the gospel message. That's what the Lord has done for you, for me. And this is what makes it real to people. Let me tell you, you just give them a set of rules and you just give them a set of things that they must follow. That's not the gospel message. The gospel message is that there is an intimacy with Christ yes. that causes me to want to do those things. Yes. He puts his law in my heart. And I'm not doing it because it's written on anything else other than my heart. And as a result of it being written on my heart, I do those things that please the Lord. That's the gospel. You don't have to force it. You don't have to make somebody do it. You live the kind of a life, and when you're in those crunch places and those tight places, you allow the Lord, what the work that the Lord has done in your life, you allow him to work into your life, and what you're doing, you're showing somebody what it really means, what the gospel really means. The good news of Jesus Christ. They persecuted me. They spit on me. They said all manner of evil against me. And what did I do? There was this grace of God that came out of my heart and nothing came out of my mouth. You know what? That's the gospel message. That's me preaching. That's you preaching to folks. Saints, we got to have it better than what we have it sometimes, don't we? There are some that don't have it quite. And Lord, help us. I believe all of us have fallen short sometimes in some of these areas. Amen. Lord, help us.
Yes.
All right. Now.
Until the day in which he was taken up.
That's good enough. That's good enough. Let's go to 1 John 1. Let me start at the first verse, please.
That which was from the beginning.
That which was from the beginning.
Which we have heard.
Which we have heard.
Which we have seen with our eyes.
Eyewitnesses. I know that this works. And the reason that I know it works is because I've had the experience. And saints, no one can take the experience away from you. You can talk about it all you want to. But if you don't have it as an experience, it's not going to work very well, is it? All right? So he says, that which is from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes. Read, please.
Which we have looked
upon. We have looked upon.
And our hands have handled.
Our hands have handled.
Of the word of life.
Of the word of life.
For the life was manifested.
The life was manifested.
And we have seen it.
We have seen it.
And bear witness.
And we bear witness.
And show it unto you.
And we show it unto you.
That eternal life.
Which was with the Father.
Which was with the Father. And was manifested.
And it was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you. And ye also have fellowship with us. Truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. This then is the message which we have heard of him, and declare unto you that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. When we look at the gospel message, what we're understanding is it all centers around the Lord. It centers around the Word of God. When we look at this Word, it is the living Word of God. And you know, we preached the message the last Sunday about the gift of the Word and what it really means when we understand the reason that you and I can communicate is because of a simple words. There are 26 letters in an alphabet, and if it didn't exist, then what I am saying you wouldn't understand. And so God gave us this gift of the Word. We see it, we handle it, it becomes real. It's life to us. It's what gives life to us. But we have to understand that it's the Word of God. And it's not just the Word, it's God. It was made flesh and it dwelt among us. Yeah. That's the good news. Why? He came down and he dwelt among us to show you and me how to be like him. Isn't that wonderful?
That's right.
Amen. He was made flesh. Yes. He was made a man just like me.
Yes.
Just like you. He was the Son of God and the Son of Man. These are opposites. And when you look at the gospel, what did it... the Gospel of John shows him as the Son of God.
Yeah.
And the Gospel of, is it Luke? Luke. Shows him as the Son of Man. Luke was a man with a different personality than John. John was the beloved. He fell in love with God. Luke was a man that was compassionate. And he was concerned about other people. He was a physician. That's what physicians do. They're concerned about the welfare of others. He showed us how Jesus was the Son of Man. So what happened is, in one sense, the Lord went shopping. And he looked for a man that could stand in the gap and make up the hedge, but he couldn't find one. And so what he did, he says, I'm going to create a man that can be the perfect sacrifice. Part God, part man. And so what we understand is, we understand God because Jesus Christ was part God. And we communicate, we bring to Him the needs that we have, and He takes those needs to God. Isn't that wonderful?
Amen.
That's the gospel message. No matter whatever I face, whatever I come across, I've got an advocate. I've got an intercessor. Someone that understands where I come from.
Amen.
Someone who knows what I feel. Someone that can be touched by the feeling of my infirmities because they know something about infirmities.
Amen.
And then God can understand them because here is the King. Here is part me that came down, not because he was forced to, but because he desired to. And he speaks the language of God, and he speaks the language of man. Isn't that wonderful? And so now the gospel message is that this man, the man Christ Jesus, the Son of God, the Son of Man, that he can now bridge the gap. He can stand between the two of us, and where I could not approach God before, now I can approach Him through His Son because I'm a part of His Son.
Yeah.
I'm part of the body of Christ.
Yeah.
And so now the language of the Holy is that that Jesus understands me, I understand God because of Him. Isn't that wonderful? That's the gospel message. In today's day and time. So there is no excuse for any of us. And I think sometimes we come to places that we feel like maybe it was reserved for those in the olden times, but it's reserved for you and I today. It's the gospel according to the saints of God in our generation. This is relevant today. It is not just relevant to those that wrote it way back there, but we're using the same Bible today. The words that they use, they come alive to us, don't they? They mean something to us. Thank the Lord. All right. 2 Timothy 3, verse 16.
All Scripture is given by inspiration of God.
Is given by inspiration of God.
And is profitable for doctrine.
It is profitable for doctrine.
For reproof.
For reproof.
For correction.
For correction.
For instruction in righteousness.
For instruction in righteousness.
That the man of God may be perfect.
That the man of God may be perfect.
Thoroughly furnished. Unto all good works.
So part of the gospel message, the Scripture is given by inspiration of God. God inspired His Word. God spoke His Word into existence. If you go into the first chapter of Genesis, what happened is, in the beginning, God. He was first. God, what did He do? He created the heavens and the earth. And then what did He do? God said, and the Spirit, it said the Spirit moved. So we have God Himself, we have the Spirit of God, and then He said, we have His Word. He said, God said, let there be light, and what happened? There was light. Did it flicker on like we have these lights do sometimes? Or did it just, when He said it, it happened? That's the Word of God, isn't it?
Yes,
So when he spoke with the level of authority, and this light gives us revelation. So we ask the Lord, Lord, I need a revelation. I need an understanding of your word. Would you give me a revelation and an understanding of your word? We're to seek for a revelation. We're to seek for a revelation of Jesus Christ. Let me tell you, it is not good enough just to go by what the saints have said. That's not good enough. You need to know it for yourself. It is not good enough to do it because Brother Darrell said you need to do it, or whatever other minister stands behind this sacred desk and do it. You need to know it because this is what God has revealed and enlightened to me and given me a level of understanding. Do you realize that our spiritual authority comes from revelation? Do you realize anointing comes from revelation? The more we know about God, the more we understand, the closer we get to Him, and the more anointing that we have upon our lives individually and upon our services and our worship services collectively. You know what's missing a lot is a level of anointing that I believe the Lord wants on our individual lives. It's not about the preachers. It's not just about those that are in leadership positions in the church. Our responsibility is to preach these kinds of things. We are to move up to that level that God would have us to. But let me tell you, the anointing, if we don't have anointing, we have nothing. The only thing that sets us apart from any other group of people is the anointing of the Holy Ghost on our lives. And it doesn't happen just in a church service. It happens at home. And the greater level of anointing that you have on your individual life as you preach the gospel to your neighbors, as you preach the gospel to your family, as you preach the gospel to your co-workers on the job, as they see the gospel according to Brother so-and-so, the gospel according to Sister so-and-so, they see that it works. It means there's anointing there.
Yes, amen.
Yeah. Lord, help us. When we have it, like the Lord wants us to have it, when we come to service, it's just a natural outpouring of the anointing of the Holy Ghost.
That's right.
And if that's missing, don't look at the preacher. You know, I say that because I'm a preacher. And a good majority of the time, there is an expectation that we're to pull the whole service. Well, the preaching was kind of flat. You know, all of us preach flat. All of us do from time to time. Anybody here didn't ever get out that's a preacher? I want to see your hand. Ever got out of the pulpit and said, oh my goodness. You've never done that. Oh. Wondered if I should have said this, I should have done this. You know, we get beat up by the devil. Maybe I'm the only one. Am I the only one? I'm not the only one. But you know what? We fight back because we get back up there and we do it again. And sometimes the Lord have to tell me, you know what? You kicked him pretty good. That's why he's fighting you so hard. You made a pretty good dent in what he's saying. It may not have come across the way you thought it should have, but I made my point. The Lord says, the Holy Ghost says. And so, you know, you're comforted in that. And the Lord, that's a good way to keep you humble anyway, isn't it? Lord, help us. I hear all these amens from the preachers. I think that's wonderful. All right. Sometimes we get up here and tell off on ourselves, don't we? All right. Revelation 14, verse 13. I'll just read that.
And I heard a voice from heaven.
He says here, I heard a voice from heaven.
Saying unto me.
Right.
Blessed are the dead.
Okay, hold on. That's all I want you to read. You can read the rest of it on your own. Right. I heard a voice from heaven. It said unto me, right. And then he told me what to write. You know, in one sense, here is a story that is being created. And when I look at my life, and I look at your life, do you realize that all of us are characters in each other's story? Some of us play a more dominant role than others do, but we're all characters in a story. And the Lord told you to come, whether you felt like He did or not, to this meeting, to this service, and then you begin to write how you respond to what is being said. You write it. And there is a book of remembrance that the Lord is going to bring back. That you're in this service, you're in the other service. I told you certain things, and I told you how to create the story, and you decided to write something different than what I told you to write. Do you realize that the Lord has appeared to every one of us, and He's told us that, listen, I created you, and along with you, I've created a backstory that is your grandparents, your parents, and all that, and that is the setting under which you are to begin to be the author of your own story. And what I want you to do, there are things, there, you know, and there's not, how many stories have you read that there is not a turn and a plot twist and hardship where somebody rises above the fray? Those are the good stories, aren't they? Everything goes and they're skipping and hopping and everything. That's the story, that's the stories of first graders. And Jane skipped through the flowers and everything was just wonderful and they lived happily ever after. That's not the story. When you get a real good story, there's twists and there's turns, there's hardship, there's problems that they have to overcome. And then we look at how they overcame those problems, don't we?
Yes.
And in that, we find the heroes and the heroines of the story that they wrote. Do you realize that you and I are writing a story? And you know, at the end of our lives, the books were open, the scripture says. And another book was open. And the Lord is going to read that I know this was a plot twist. I know they did you wrong. I know they did. But that was the whole point. And I gave you, according to my word, the way that I wanted you to respond. And you took the pencil and you said, I'm not responding that way. That's not necessary, and I ain't going to do it. Y'all did me wrong, and I'm going to write the story that I want. But what did John say? He said, and he heard a voice from heaven saying, write. Do you know the Lord tells you to write all the time?
Yes.
I want you to write this. I want you to understand what the gospel message means in these kinds of circumstances. I want you to understand that my grace is still sufficient for you.
Yes.
Even though all the things that you're going through, I want you to understand. Understand that, and I want you to write it so that when somebody looks at your life, they read the epistle
yes.
of your life, then they can see, as we see, what Job went through, what Paul went through, and how Paul responded, what Matthew, John, what they went through. We see that the grace of God was ever present in their life, and if they can do it, I can too,
yes.
by the grace of God.
Yes.
That's the good news of the gospel. I don't have to just fall down and be defeated because everything has turned against me. I don't believe any of us have experienced what Job experienced. But what I like to say to the folks is, listen, you're not to the end yet. Generally, the author resolves everything by the end, by the last chapter. And most of the time, we're kind of satisfied with how it ends, don't we? Aren't we? There have been a few books that I read I hated that ending. I wish I hadn't read it. But you know what? All of us are coming to an end. We're going to come. I thought about how the five wise, this is in the gospel, the five wise and the five foolish virgins. Do you know the ones that were, if we were to follow that in real time, the ones that were wise looked foolish to the ones that were foolish. And the ones, probably the ones that were wise, the wise virgins that took their extra oil, they were looking at the ones that were kind of, everything was going just fine for them. Let me tell you something. These folks were saved. They were saved. All 10 of them were saved. All the way to the end, nearly. But it looked like the things that the ones that were wise that took extra oil, it looked foolish in real time. You've got all of this that you're lugging around and it ain't even that important. And you know, there was probably a question, and I wonder if they changed. I wonder if some of the wise decided to put, okay, you made your point, and so I'm not going to do it. And then some of the ones that originally weren't going to do it said, well, you know what, just in case. And I believe that we see this happen all the time. That some that once had a revelation, an understanding of what God required of them, they set that revelation aside because they saw somebody else that wasn't doing it and it didn't feel like they needed to do it. And then there are those who say, well, you know, at first I didn't think that was necessary, but the Lord kind of revealed something to me, so I'm going in this direction. I believe they changed. I can say that, can't I? I believe they changed, and then all of a sudden there were these five that were wise, and these five that were foolish. And this is what I want us to understand. The reason that many people cannot say, you can't tell me that I'm not saved, is because they really are. They really are. Maybe they're not living to what you're living to, but they really are saved. So in one sense, we have to be careful about it. But in the other sense, we have to understand, but I don't want to be a foolish virgin, so I can't do that, what you're doing. Because it's going to make me a foolish virgin. But I'm still saved. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's a very serious thing. This is the gospel message. Let's see, I'm going to err on the side of caution. I want to make certain that I'm right. I want to make certain that I'm doing what the Lord would have me to do. So I maybe take a little bit extra oil that may not be necessary, but just in case it is. Take a little bit more of it. All right. So, I'm almost finished. I think. Let's turn to I want to pray for me. Let's turn to 2 Peter 1, verse 20.
Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture,
is
of any private interpretation.
For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man,
but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost.
Do you know that that is the same thing that we're to do today? Yes. Speak as we're moved by the Holy Ghost. Yes. When we're in a service, we speak as we were moved by the Holy Ghost. This is talking in relation to the Scripture that we understand, right? But I want to bring it out in a more personal way. Sometimes the Lord moves us to speak to people about their soul or about something, some part of their lives. Do you know that we're to be moved by the Spirit of God and we're to understand by the grace of God? Lord, when He tells me to speak, there's a reason that He's telling me to speak. And I may be the one that is standing in the gap between this person and eternity. And it is my responsibility to obey the Lord. And saints, I believe what God wants us, you and me, to understand is it is our responsibility to be obedient to God, to obedient to the Word of God, to the understanding that He gives us. And it is our responsibility to seek for a greater understanding. And this is not a stagnant thing that I've learned this. I've basically learned the basic doctrines of the church, and that's as far as I need to go. No, the Lord wants you and I to go a little bit deeper. He wants us to have a greater level of understanding, and He wants us to have a greater revelation of who He is. A greater revelation of the church of God. What it is, what it is not. And when we get it for ourselves, which is the most important thing, it really doesn't matter what everybody else is saying, does it? Because you're going to stand. Yes. It's just going to be a few of us, but we're going to stand. Yes. We're going to stand where the Lord shows us. I want you to understand that. Mm-hmm. All right? We're almost finished here. One point that I'd like to make is the gospel as the good news of Jesus Christ, when we tell the story of what He has done for us, our testimony is the witness of the gospel to this generation. Yes. As we speak it, as we live it, it comes alive. It lives, and it is the gospel according to our circumstances. It meets the needs of our circumstances. We are the eyewitnesses. It becomes a correct and consistent presentation of the gospel message. That's what we need to understand. That the Lord is requiring you and I to live this gospel. Live it. Live it like He's shown it to us. Live it like the Word tells us to live it. Have the right kind of spirit, the right kind of attitude, dealing with folks in the right kind of way. I appreciated the message this afternoon. the fruits of the Spirit. Do you know that there are times that we don't feel... there have been time, many times that I didn't feel like I wanted to be gentle. I had a situation today that I felt like the Lord just gave me the answer to the situation by being, just be gentle here. You don't have to lay down the law and you don't have to do what you feel like maybe needs to be done to put somebody in their place. Just be gentle here. And do you know, I believe it made a difference. And I believe it's still making a difference. And do you know what? That's the gospel. It's simple. It's not something everybody can understand. Don't be mean. That's what we say to children. Don't be mean. Just be gentle. That's the gospel. That's good news. How many folks want somebody to get down their throat and look at them and fuss at them? Nobody does. Everybody likes somebody gentle. That's the gospel message. All right? All right. We're going to come to our conclusion here. 2 Timothy 4, verse 3.
For the time will come,
when
they will not endure sound doctrine.
There will be a group of people, or some people, that will not endure sound doctrine.
But after their own lust,
shall
they heap to themselves teachers, itching ears.
Having itching ears.
And they shall turn away their ears from the truth.
They shall turn their ears from the truth.
And shall be turned unto fables.
So we've got a lot of folks that are preaching a gospel, but it's not our gospel, is it? It's not a popular gospel. It's the gospel of Jesus Christ. And this I want us to understand, that what the gospel of Jesus Christ is not necessarily what's popular to the world today. But it is our responsibility, by the grace of God, to live in such a way that the gospel message is alive in us. That when folks are don't take, you know, some folks look at the Bible and they just say it's a cold book. It hasn't really come alive to them. And I've had folks that have gotten sick. Feeling that you get when you read the Bible. Now, you know, every time that I read the Bible, it is not that I get this wonderful feeling that I'm ready to run and go and tell the world about it, but it's food to my soul. Yes. And it sustains me, it helps me, and it gives me something. And maybe even in this message that we're preaching about tonight, maybe you don't need it now, but you will need it at some point in your life. And this is what I believe the Lord wants you and I to understand as we deal with this, that you are preaching to somebody. Your life is speaking words. You are writing a story, which is really what this Bible really is. If you look at it, it's words that men and women, it's the lives of men and women. It's epistles, that letters that have been written. It is people that have gotten themselves into terrible situations, and we figure out how are they going to get out of this, and we find that there is always a way out. And the way out is Jesus Christ. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the light. The Lord is able to bring us out of these things if we will submit ourselves to Him. There's always a way. So what we look at, the problems that you're experiencing, let me tell you, nothing is new under the sun. The problems that you are experiencing right now in this Bible is the solution. Somebody else has gone through something just like what you're going through right now. Believe it or not. Believe it or not, they have. And there is a solution that the Lord has already made for you in the gospel according to your circumstance. That's the good news. I don't have to be here. I don't have to stay here. I don't have to be in this position and stay in this position for the rest of my life. You know, there's hope. That's the gospel message. Whatever it is, no matter how dark it is, no matter what you're going through and how difficult your circumstances are, the gospel, the good news is that Jesus cares.
Yes, thank the Lord.
The good news is that there is somebody that I want to introduce you to, and the best way for me to introduce Him to you is for Him to be alive in my heart and life. Not just tell you about Him, but for me to be an eyewitness. This is my friend. And I want to introduce you to my friend. And the only way, and I can make it real, what did the brother stand up and testify? He said that his wife had told somebody about what God had done for them. They said, well, maybe he can help me too. That's an introduction. That's the gospel. There's good news. There's hope. Maybe they got a shoulder problem and they've gone to the doctors and there are no way. What did the doctor say? We don't know. We don't know if they said there's any hope, but then there's this little unassuming Christian that nobody really pays a whole lot of attention to, and they go and they shine the light of the gospel on somebody, and they said, you know what? I've got somebody that maybe you can use it help, that I believe that you can use it help. That's the gospel message. That's the gospel in action. When we go to somebody and they're in trouble and we can express to them that there is hope in Christ. I saw a woman, I went to a place today, and I saw this woman and I thought, you know what? That woman is on drugs. She was working there and I could tell by the twitch she was on meth. I don't, you know, there's a certain look that they have. Have you ever seen somebody on meth? Let me tell you, if you're on meth or if you're on drugs or if you have a problem, there is hope. I want to introduce you to Jesus. I know folks that have been in terrible, terrible places, and they've come to an altar of prayer, and they said, you know what? The Lord, I believe the Lord can deliver me. And you know what He's done? He's delivered those individuals. And you know what? He can deliver you. You got a marriage that's in trouble? Don't know what to do? There's hope. And I wish sometimes the folks would really understand the love that the Lord... But read John. Read about Him and we'll understand the love that Jesus had for you and I. Read the Gospels. The solution to the problem is in this book right here. Every problem, there is not a problem that mankind has faced that the answer has not already been taken care of. Isn't that wonderful?
Yes.
That's the Gospel message.
Yes.
Well, Brother Darrell, you don't understand. Maybe I don't understand. Have anybody ever said that to you? You don't understand. My situation is that God understands. The Lord Jesus understands. He's been in the situation. He's dealt with situations like yours for centuries.
Yes, that's right.
You're not the first one. He's delivered multitudes of people. You know what? I believe that there's going to be somebody in heaven that went through the exact same thing as every single one of us right here today. There are eyewitnesses that this works. Pray for me.